family. This is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. You're listening to Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. This is a live call-in talk show. I'm only going to be here for about 30 minutes today, so if you have a question, you can call in. If you want to make a comment, call in. The number is 646-716-7572. Sorry we got started a little late today, but I did want to continue on with the show because I have some things that I want to talk to us about. You know, I'm always talking about homeschooling and the educational system and what we can do to better improve the education of our children. Okay, today I'm going to be talking to you about does our education kill creativity and entrepreneurship? Last week I talked to you about the blackhomeschool.org. Well, that was .com. Anyway, I talked to you about the Black Homeschool, and I put that on my site, the Education of the Miseducated System, the Facebook page, so you could get that information. I came across an article, and this is the article, Does Our Education Kill the Creativity and Entrepreneurship? And this is a report from, let me see, I think it's a report. It's really a new report. Okay. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that, and I have some things, other things that I want to bring into what I'm going to do today. I have some reading that I may do a little bit, some talking. I have some references and some tools that you could possibly use on your own when you want to study this situation. Also, look at your children and see whether your children's creativity is being stifled. Along with this article, I'm going to be quoting out of a book, and I talked to this about this book when I first started this program back in 2012, and it's called Death at an Early Age by Kozel, and I'm going to give you his first name. His name is Jonathan Kozel, K-O-Z-O-L, and I had a gentleman on the show, Obalaji K. Russ, and he introduced me to this book, and I'm going to quote a little bit about out there. And then we're going to also talk about something that happened in 2013 in a Florida school. Does our education system kill the creativity and entrepreneurship of our children? According to the Professor Kung Hee Kim, he's a professor at the College of William and Mary, he said, yes, they do. And he said, entrepreneurs are becoming few and far in between. And the question was asked, is this because they're scared of the economy? Do they lack the funds? And his statement is, it is due in large part to America's educational system killing the creativity and the motivation of our youth. The educational system doesn't teach creativity or risk-taking to children, and we all know that. Our children are now being taught to test. They're taught to take the test, to pass the test, so the schools could be in the standing where they need to be so they won't be an at-risk school of the government coming in taking over their school. But we know here in the United States, and especially here in California where I'm at, our school numbers are very, very low. We're basically at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to academia in the world. Okay, especially in the United States, California is at the lowest. All right. The educational system doesn't teach creativity or risk-taking, so kids grow up without the understanding that you need to take risks in order to get rewards. They're learning that when you take risks and maybe things don't turn out the way they're supposed to turn out, then there's consequences, and it's not only the consequences are not consequences where you learn from that mistake, so let's do it a different way. The consequences that they're learning is that you did something that didn't work, so now you're in trouble. And case in point, back in 2013, there was a young girl who was expelled, and she was charged with a felony after her science experiment, you know, went crazy. And you guys probably, if you've been on Facebook, if you've been on YouTube, if you've been in any of the places that we normally look, you've heard this story, how she went into her class and she wanted to see what went on. Her name was Kara Wilmot, and she went to school and she mixed some household chemicals in a tiny 8-ounce water bottle. And it looked like a simple chemistry project to her, but when the top popped off, a small explosion occurred. Okay? This girl was in good standing with us as a student. She said it was an accident. The high school principal told a local television station that the teen had made a bad choice and called her a good kid who had never previously been in trouble. She said that the principal said he didn't think that she meant to hurt anyone, but she wanted to see what would happen when the chemicals mix. Creativity. How many times have we wanted to find out what happens when you mix vinegar with baking soda? And we've seen that experiment in elementary school. We wanted to recreate that. Okay, I create that a lot of times because it creating those two chemicals together, it makes for when I pour it into something, a pot or a pan where something is stuck to the pot or pan, and I mix those two chemicals together, it creates that foam, and it helps releases that food particle or that burnt-on stuff that's on my pot. It releases it. Okay, so that's why I use it. But nevertheless, she mixed a couple of chemicals together, and it caused an explosion, a small explosion. It didn't hurt anybody. But what happened, it shocked her, and it also shocked her mother. They said that in another era that she would have been scolded and said, don't do that no more, follow direction and go back to class. But on this day, Monday, she was arrested after the incident and charged with possession and discharge of a weapon on school property and discharging a destructive device. She was in turn expelled and will finish her high school years in an expulsion program. Okay, tragically, this young woman, all because what should have been as a misguided curiosity, why does it have to be misguided, now faces expulsion and felony charges. Okay, I'm tossing that to the side because that's kind of crazy. But this is what happens. So the risk-taking that I'm talking about, our children learn when they go over, they take risks that there are, and the risk, and it doesn't come out like the way other people think it should come out, that their creativity is stunted. Okay, there are bad circumstances. Okay. Now, according to the data of the Torrance Test of Creative Thinking, there's a statement that children have been less motivated, less talkative, less humorous, and less expressive than they used to be. How many of you have been in a group of young people, or not even a group of young people, but just see, go to a high school campus or junior high school campus and see, especially when you get to high school, you see the kids just walking around. Some of them are talkative. Some of them are on their cell phones. There's no expression. Even when you go to a doctor's office and you see the young people sitting around, it's like, man, they're not talking. Are they hurt? Are they in pain? Are they all together there? Because this is what happens. There's no creativity. There's nothing going on. So they're not the laughing. They're not the talkative student that they used to be when I was coming up, when we were always doing something. The children, this study also states that the children should be taught that mistakes are just opportunities to learn new ways of doing things. Okay, and that's where we come in. That's where we come in as parents. When a child makes a mistake and they do something or they try to get something done and it doesn't work out with them, we don't bash them. We don't put them down. We say, okay, let's try it another way. Because the way that they might be trying may not be the way that they need to go. So we need to try a different approach to whatever it is, whether it's writing, reading, whether it's creating a picture, art, or putting together clothing, whatever it is that they're doing, we need to find another way for them to do it. This is another opportunity of saying that this doesn't work, so let's try it this way. I remember when I was teaching at a private school, and I had to be very creative with my students. I had 40 students all the way from pre-K all the way to 12th grade. And I remember a lot of my high school students, they were struggling in different areas. I had one young girl who didn't know how to read a ruler. So what I had to do was create a ruler, a big ruler the size of her desk, draw the half-inch, quarter-inch, eighth-inch mark on her ruler and mark them and tape them to her ruler, tape them to her desk. I had to be create, created, because giving her just a regular ruler wouldn't work. And she felt like she's sitting there looking at her work, feeling all defeated and everything, and feeling like, I can't do this. I can't do this. And so I had to create something. And I want to let you know that when it's, we hear a child that sometimes say that, I can't do this, and they're really stressing about what they can't do, sometimes that means that I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Not that they can't get it done, but it's been so put up upon them that you got to do this right the first time. And maybe the consequences when they didn't do something right were traumatic to them. So a lot of times we say, I can't. No, it's not that they can't. It's that they're afraid to. Let's look at it as they're afraid to fail. Let's give our children the opportunity to say, it's okay to fail. It's okay. Let's look at it a different way. Everybody has their own learning style, and I talked to you about this before, that we need to learn our children's learning styles. I'm a kinesthetic learner. I need to see, I need to touch, I need to hear, I need to do it all. If I'm sitting in a lecture, I'm not going to get it unless I'm taking notes. So I'm hearing you, I'm taking notes. Or if it's on a board, I can get it if it's on a board because I can rewrite those notes. I'm a hands-on person also. I need to learn by hands-on. So I have to have it all. I have to have the touch, the hearing, the seeing, and all of that done. Some kids just sit in there and hear a lecture, and that's it. You need to learn your child's learning style. And you also need to know how is their teacher teaching them. Because I find that teachers teach students according to the way their learning style is. So if the teacher learns by lecture, guess what she's going to do? She's going to go into that classroom and lecture, and she may have about 5 or 6 students in there that just can't get the lecture, is just not getting it. They need to see. They need to touch. They need to feel. Okay. So let's go back onto this here. So we said that mistakes are just opportunities to learn new ways of doing things. Okay. And so I want to talk to you about this. Children are told, now in our educational system, the creativity comes when, it's cut off when our children are learned, are told to what to think and how to react to situations. They will sometimes come across adults that and are taught about social norms on early on in life. If they are too afraid to stray from these norms, they will never be able to take any chances to bring new and exciting ideas to life. I'm going to share with you a definition of education. And I looked this up a while ago, and I also talked about this. And I'm going to give you this this little thing, some of the key points of education in our system. One of the key points in our educational system is socialization. The most important function of education is socialization. The people have no knowledge about the culture of the society, therefore they must learn them, and they must learn the way which this society is functioning. Hence, the children, as they grow, must be introduced into the culture in which they are to face. Children learn a lot about life from their parents or clubs or among groups of other people that they're around. Another thing that children are learning is they're developing their personality, they're learning social control, the determination of status. And it's a word that is really used here in this article that I was looking at, and it's called inculcate, I-N-C-U-L-C-A-T-E. And this is something that has to do with socialization. And so it means to implant by repeated statements or admonition. They teach persistently and earnestly, okay? So inculcate is a way that our children are learning. They're constantly being taught this. This is the way you do it. This is the way you think. This is the way you do it. This is the way you think. Where, and it's over and over, it's wrote, it's constantly put into their brain cells, so they won't be creative. I'm gonna share with you this little book that I have. It's called The Deaf at an Early Age. Okay, let's see what I got going on here. I don't want to miss that if I have any calls coming in, so I'm going to go back to my page here. Okay, so The Deaf at an Early Age, I'm going to share with you about that. There we go. Okay, I'm trying to get back to my Facebook page, but I'll get there. Okay. Basically, the educational system as it is now doesn't reward our students for thinking of new ideas that may be outside the box ideas. It rewards them for staying in the lines and not pushing the envelope. And we all see that in the educational system. Unless your child is going into the class or art or have that teacher who teaches creativity, you know, it's not going to happen. I remember my child was in the sixth grade, and he had a male teacher, Mr. Sorgio. And Mr. Sorgio was very creative in his math, where he was teaching math, and he would throw coins out, dollar bills out to the students, you know, stand on the desk and point to the students and, yeah, right, it was very loud. But my child needed that type of class. And the school really didn't like the way that Mr. Sorgio was teaching. And after a while, they got rid of him. The wrongful termination, he sued and moved to Canada, won his case and moved to Canada. But we lost a very good teacher who was teaching those children who needed that type of excitement in their classroom. And my child was one of those students. Okay. The book that I'm reading here is called The Deaf at an Early Age. And it talks about a little boy named Stephen. Stephen was a little boy. He was in foster care, taken out of his parents' home. But he was in a foster care home from the time he was an infant. Now that he was no longer an infant, these parents that didn't want him, they were very poor. The foster parents were very poor. And so they would beat him. He would go to school with black eyes, all disheveled with his clothes, you know, not looking like the other students looked. So the other students didn't want to be around him. And his teacher always questioned what was going on. So Stephen always did poorly in his work. He was always behind in his work. He was in fourth grade, and he was basically at the second grade level. But the one thing this writer in this book says about Stephen is that he, even though he did poorly in his work, there was one thing that he could do well, and he was a fine artist. He made delightful drawings. The thing about them that was good, however, was also the thing that got him into trouble. The thing about his artwork that was good was also the thing that got him in trouble, because there was an art teacher that would come into the class. And I remember those days when we had our art teacher come into the class. His work was not neat and orderly and organized, but entirely random and casual, messy, somewhat unpredictable, seldom according to the instructions he had been given. In short, this writer says it was real drawing. Now, this teacher who would come in, her most common technique was to pass out mimeograph designs. So you know this book is pretty good when you talk about mimeograph. Mimeograph designs, and then to have pupils fill them in according to a dictated or suggested color plan. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I first started working in a preschool, my first preschool experience teaching, I remember we were going to fill the bulletin board with all of this artwork that the children were doing. And I did the little cutouts and stuff, and I did my little model of what I wanted this artwork to look like. And my supervisor came to me and said, Paula, that's a nice project, but it's not the children's work. It's your work. You're having them to do what you did. She said, do not do a model for those children. Let them do their own thing. Draw, let them cut it. And sometimes we have kids that would cut stuff. I mean, they go crazy with the scissors. By the time you finish it, it's in little pieces. So what I would have to do, I didn't throw it out. I just put it in an envelope and say, this is their apple, this is their bee, this is whatever they did. You know, even when I was teaching Sunday school, I mean, kids would just cut up. I mean, they love the scissors. They love cutting. This is their fine motor skill. But I put it in an envelope and give it to the parent and said, this is what your child did today. And it's fine. That was their creativity. But this little boy, this teacher would come to this little boy, and at first when he was doodling and stuff, she wouldn't say nothing. But then afterwards, when she moved over to his desk, I mean, everybody in that class, even the teacher who stayed in the class while she was teaching and the other students, they knew there was going to be a big blow-up. She would say, this is a waste of paper on this child. Look how he muddied the colors and stuff. But out of his work was the most creative work that he did out of everybody else in the class, because he followed he moved to the beat of his own drum. Okay, he wasn't moving to her beat; she wanted to move to their beat. So this is what happens. Does education kill the creativity of our children? Yes. Does it kill the entrepreneurship? Because if we don't have creativity, we don't have entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship comes out of the person's mind to say, I think I want to do this. This is something that's in me, and I really want to be able to create this, and I really want to be able to create an income out of it. I say all this, parents who are listening to me today, and I thank you for listening. I say this because you as parents are your child's first teacher. You know what it takes to motivate that child. You know everything about your child. Like I always tell parents, once that child goes on that school campus, it becomes a guessing game, okay? It becomes a guessing game with that child. So parents, teachers have to figure out. So parents, you have to be really involved in your child's education. If that's something that you want to do, if you want to continue to keep them in the public school. Even in keeping them in the public school or even homeschooling, parents, find your child's creativity niche. Find out what it is they really love to do. I love to decorate my house. I don't have a fancy house, but I love to decorate it. And I remember when I was a young girl, in order to decorate my bedroom, I would draw out the outline in my bedroom, and I would draw the windows. I would measure, and I would measure my furniture and cut little pieces of my furniture out and place it in my room before I moved anything. And that's the way I do right now. I measure and I draw out, and I could go to Better Homes and Garden online because they have a template where you could do this. Measure your furniture and place it in the room, move it around however you want it to look before you start moving things around. So that was my creativity, and that was something that I loved to do. My creativity was playing instruments, the guitar, the flute, the trumpet, a little bit of saxophone. So, and now I have my djembe. So that's my creativity. And one of the things that I was really good at in school and when I was in high school in Florida was in gymnastics. I hated the floor exercise. I hated tumbling. I hated the balancing. But I was awesome on the pommel horse and also on the uneven parallel bars. Why didn't I succeed in that? Because I didn't have anybody to push me in that. My teachers could only do so far, but parents, when you're encouraging your children, if my mom, who was a single parent, knew that I was proud when I went up on that uneven parallel bars and what my teachers were saying about me, and if I had had that support, so tell me where I would be today. No telling where I would be, what I would be doing today as far as sports is concerned. But parents, you are your child's first teacher, and you are the one who have to initiate the creativity in your child. My children love to draw. So I made sure they have plenty of paper. They have plenty of markers. They have, okay, I was so glad when they came out with washable markers where if they mark on a wall or mark on some furniture, I can easily wipe it off and clean up, paint, watercolors. If you have a backyard, take them out on the backyard. If you have a chain link fence, put that paper on the chain link fence. Put something down on the ground. Let them color. Let them paint. Let them do whatever they need to do. Sometimes as parents, we don't understand our children. We'll say, that's just too much. You're making a mess. But it's not their mess. It's their creativity. So let's love. Let's do what we need to do. Does our educational system kill the creativity? They are killing the creativity, but it's up to us as parents to develop that creativity in our child. We're all born with some type of cooking, whether it's sewing, whether it's doing hair, whether it's speaking, whether it's singing, whether it's dancing, whatever it is that we do, whatever it is that we love to do, let's do it to the fullest. Parents, encourage your children. And I say once again, you are your child's first teacher. If you're, like I said, if your child is in of the public school system, I also say that if you can't pull them out and homeschool them and create that creativity all day long, then it's up to you as a parent to get with other parents who are feeling the same way you are, who look like you look, that have the same concerns, to do something with your children. Create a once a week or every other Saturday art camp. And we used to do this all the time. $5, we would have the children in the community to come in and do an art camp. We provide the supplies. That's what $5 did. $5 bought the supplies, and also $5 bought maybe a hot chocolate, a little pastry, whatever we were giving the kids, some fruit or whatever, because we did it in the morning. We didn't do it in the afternoon. We didn't want to tie everybody's afternoon up, so we did it in the morning. So I'm asking you as parents, and once again, this is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. to look at the creativity of your child, look at entrepreneurship as a family, think about what it is that you as a family love to do. I know that in my community now, our city is allowing people to have licenses to bake in their home and to go out and sell it. Usually you have to have all these different licenses and the health department, all this stuff come through. But it's made, they're making it easy for entrepreneurs and small businesses to come about. So do your business, go to the community fairs, set up a table, sell whatever you have to sell, and love and learn and live. And this is Paula Massey signing off with the education of the miseducated system. And I'm asking you to have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I will see you next Tuesday. Next Tuesday I'll be here at 5 o'clock on the dot. So I'm hoping to see you here. And I'm going to be talking some more about this creativity and entrepreneurship. And I'm also going to be talking next week about the 28 signs that public schools are rapidly being turned into indoctrination centers and prison camps. You don't want to miss this show next week, so we're going to talk about the public schools to jail pipeline in a little different way. We're going to point out some key issues that will show us what is actually happening in our school system. So I'm signing off right now. You have a wonderful day. This is the Education of the Miseducated System, and you have a wonderful weekend.
Dynasty Radio, 1382.